Intimate Details by Rainy Light. From the Homestuck Fan Author Coalition. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. One. Sun-bleached flies.
Be Kanaya Mariam. Your name is Kanaya Mariam, and you have never been more in love with anyone in your life. Granted, you have not been alive for long, only a few sweeps and an endlessly stretching eternity, and there are still so many more to be had. You will live long enough to watch everyone and everything you love slip away from you, including her. But you love her, you think? You miss her so dearly when she's not around, which is most of the time. The kiss of her knuckles is never as good as the press of her lips. She bites. She draws jade from you every time she does. You like it when she hits you, but you adore it when she bites you. It makes you feel like maybe you aren't so different from her, and that's love, isn't it? You wouldn't know any different. You have never loved anyone before. Pitch, flushed, and pale all blur together in your head. Perhaps it's because you have never known any sort of love. But she says the kiss of her fist is her way of showing you she is yours and you are hers. And who are you to question her? You would have her either way, really, open arms or closed fist. She sits beside you and you watch her. Her eyes are low as she talks animatedly, planning something and drawing in chalk on the floor of your hive. Later when she is gone, you'll have to scrub the chalk off your floor, but you won't for a while, and by the time you do, the markings will have faded to almost nothing. Her hair spills over her shoulder, matted and messy. You have asked more times than you can count whether you could possibly brush it for her sometime. And the answer is always the same, a tilt of the head backward, and a laugh that reverberates through your soul. Your chest sinks like a 2-ton weight, and rises like a song.
Absolutely not. I'd never let you get anywhere near my hair.
You've gotten used to being scorned. And sometimes you ask, just to hear her laugh. You like it when she laughs. And she laughs a lot, more often than not at you. But you don't mind. If you can make her laugh, you are satisfied. That's love, you think. You study the curve of her neck, slim and graceful, but so gawky at the same time. She has not grown into her neck yet. And you know better than to comment on it. Your eyes trace the highs of her cheekbones, the lows of her collarbones, the creases at the corners of her eyes. She catches you staring, and her lips curve into a frown. What are you looking at, Fussy Fangs? You look away. Nothing. Her frown deepens, but she turns back to her drawing, and you breathe out an exhale you didn't know you were holding. You love it when she looks at you, though she rarely does. And you never stopped to think about whether she liked it when you looked at her. But you can't help yourself. You steal small glances at her whenever you're sure she's not looking back. If she notices you looking at her, she doesn't say anything more, and you are thankful for it. She stays over to sleep at your hive. She doesn't ask whether she can or not.
Of course not, she never does.
But you don't mind. Despite the fact that you don't sleep during the day, you sit at your sewing table, your hands steadily stitching together a new dress for her, and watch her breathing with her eyes closed. You think the only time she knows peace is when she sleeps, and even then, you know she doesn't always. She's told you about her nightmares in moments where you think she finds her home in you, but those moments never last, so you treasure them as they come. She would never let you see her weak, normally. You know she's hiding something from you. There must be a reason, after all, that she never brings you back to her hive. When you spend time together, it is always at your hive. You don't mind it, not really. But your curiosity gets the better of you, and you finally decide to ask. You ask her in the morning, once you've brought a cup of tea to her, where she's sitting upright in your recuperacoon. You lower yourself to sitting on the ladder next to it that you used to climb in. Friska, she looks up. And when her eyes meet yours, sparks fly. You think? You stand on a precipice, adrenaline rushing through you. It is like this every time you ask her a question. You take a deep breath. And jump. Why don't we ever meet at your hive? Your eyes remained trained on her face, searching for any sign of emotion, and you find it. Her eyes widen in surprise and then harden, creasing at the corners the way they do when she's in pain. You've known her in pain before, but you've never been the cause of it before. You suddenly hate yourself a little more. It's none of your business. Stop being a busybody. She climbs out of the recuperacoon and begins to gather her things. You stand abruptly. Following her around your hive, something in your chest suddenly weighs so much more. No, wait. It was just a question. I did not mean anything by it. I'm sorry, Vriska. Please stop. Please stay. I do not want you to leave. You reach out with rainbow drinker speed and wrap your hand around her wrist. Even now, you don't grip hard enough to cause pain. Don't grip hard enough to bruise. It doesn't matter to her. She rips her arm from your grasp and continues shoving her things into her bag. She's not looking at you, eyes downcast. If you look hard enough, you think you see pale, cerulean tears in her eyes. Shut up. For fuck's sake, Fussy Fang, stop being so pathetic. Now it's your turn for your eyes to well up. You reach out for her again, but she jerks her arm out of your reach and wheels around to glare at you. A single tear drips down her cheek, and you ache to kiss it away even now. Even after all the things she has said and done to you, her rage is fiery and merciless. But you knew that, didn't you? So why don't you leave? Maybe it's moments like this, these moments where she looks so beautiful, just like this, and you hate yourself for thinking it. Her cheeks are flushed, cerulean, her jaw clenched, and her head held high with pride. There's still super slime in her hair, you notice as your eyes trail over her, the super slime from your recuperacoon. She winds back her fist. And you know what's going to happen before she does it. Her knuckles kiss you and you feel something snap in the cartilage of your nose. A sickening, sharp pain. And then your face is slick with jade. You don't know whether it's from tears or blood or both. Your blood drips down your philtrum, over your lips, onto your chest where it stains your pretty blue dress. You put it on when she told you she was coming over. She's breathing hard. Shallow and quick as you look at her through your blurry gaze, tears stream down her face. Her knuckles are stained with your blood, and you cannot help but feel a surge of pride when you notice. The bridge of your nose aches, your chest even heavier, but still you love her. You think, I hate you. I hate you so much, Kanaya. She spits at your feet, and then she's out the door. The only indications she was ever there are the chalk drawings on the floor and the cerulean spit. Spattered across your white shoes. The stain won't come out, you can tell, but you like that. Kind of. She marked you, isn't that love? You kneel to trace your fingers over the drawings. Blood drips down onto the floor. Still running steadily down your face, you sniffle thickly and wipe at your eyes with the back of your hand. Your skin stains jade when you do. You stay where you are. Your hair pinned up like you do when you sew. Kneeling on the ground for what feels like hours. You still love her. You hate yourself. But you love her more. So you stay. 2. Double vision in rose blush. Be Vriska Circuit. Your name is Vriska Circuit, and Rose Lalonde is the newest target of Kanaya Mariam's fixation. She is nothing like you. She can do arabesques and pirouettes around you mentally, leaving you twisted up and doubting all you know about yourself. She is smarter than you. She is quicker than you. Sharper than you. Not in her figure, though. It's just another difference between you. You with your angles and jutting bones. Your hips form a shelf and your collarbones are sunken into your skin. She looks nothing like you. She is shorter than you, for one. You tower over her like a skyscraper. Her body is soft, her breasts heavy, and her hips and thighs and stomach plump and round. You have caught Kanaya wrapping her large hands around her fullness, caressing her body mindlessly in the common areas. The contact always seems so casual. It is nothing like the way Kanaya used to touch you. Her hands shaking, her eyes wide as if she thought you'd hurt her. You have, for less. You miss her, you think. Though you would never admit it to yourself, and much less to her, you miss the way Kanaya used to look at you. So you do what you know how to do best. You confront her. You corner her after lunch one day, just as she is leaving the dining room. She is still flushed, her hair mussed from whatever she was doing in there with Rose. Her cheeks are still stained with black lipstick, and she glows, fluorescent white, stark against your darker skin. You step into her way, and she avoids your eyes and tries to step around you. You stop her.
Kanaya!
It is at this point you realize you're not exactly sure what to say. You push on.
Kanaya, you never talk to me anymore. I sort of miss the way you'd follow me around and fuss over me.
She is still avoiding your eyes.
I do not want to speak to you, Vriska. I have a Metsprit now.
I think your blood pusher shatters. She tries to step around you again, you stop her again.
Doesn't mean you can't have a Moirail, does it? Talk to me, Kanaya.
You reach out to touch her cheek, and she catches your wrist with the speed of a rainbow drinker, stopping your hand in its tracks. You remember when she used to do that, to try to stop you from leaving. You wish more than anything she would do it again. You wouldn't leave this time.
That is the thing, Vriska, I think she wants me in all her quadrants. Flush, pale, pitch. She makes no distinction.
You scoff. You're about to protest.
Rose, Lalande, pitch?
Don't make me laugh. But then your eyes land on the slope of her neck, where you see a deep, jade bite mark stark against her skin. Your blood pusher sinks.
That's disgusting.
You push her away, and she stumbles backward. For a second, you swear you see a flicker of hurt on her face, and your chest feels full with triumph, but then her expression hardens, and you feel your victory drain away.
It is human, Vriska. She loves me in the human way.
It's not fucking natural. What, are you a quad slut for her?
Her expression falls, and you feel triumph return to you, sicker this time, twisted up in something ugly you don't know how to name.
You're a fucking failure of a troll. This is why I hated you so much. You don't know how to keep your quadrants organized. You could never just be pale for me.
Her features crumble in on themselves, and for a second, you think she is going to start crying. But she doesn't. It takes a moment, but they smooth out into a calm, restrained expression. And you hate her for it.
Pitch flares in your chest, dark and heavy and black, so black, black as night, black as tar. You hate her, and that is better than loving her.
You'll correct, Vriska. Yes, I loved you. Yes, I loved you, Red.
The admission makes pride flare in your chest. She loved you, Red, and she has finally admitted it to you.
But Vriska, you were never even a Moirail to me. You broke my face. You broke me.
She reaches up to tap her long, crooked nose. And you remember for a moment how her jade blood looked, splattered across your knuckles. You remember how you stuck your hands into the river near her hive and scrubbed your skin until it was raw and blue.
I should have known. There is no way a ship can really love an anchor.
She stops speaking and closes her eyes for a moment, tilting her head back towards the ceiling like a plant towards the sun. It reminds you of how you used to watch her sleep during the long Alternian nights. She looks at you again. Her gaze softens, and your blood pusher rate rises. You remember how she used to look at you, and this is close enough to that that you cling to it.
I know you feel guilty for how it all happened.
Do you? Do you even know what guilt feels like?
But you need to let it go. Let all of it go. Pretend we were never anything at all. That is certainly the closest we will ever get to being
civil. Her jaw clenches, and you ache to sink your fist into it, but you don't. You are stationary, stuck where you are. You cannot move, nor speak. All you can do is listen to her. Your mouth opens and shuts, opens again, shuts again. Finally, you find your words.
Do you think you could ever love me again?
Desperation creeps into your tone.
I'll love you. I'll love you, Red. I'll be flushed for you. I'll be the best fucking mate sprit to you. I can do it, can I? Just please. You reach out and she backs up a step. Cerulean tears fill your eyes. And you wish she would cry too.
Come back, please. I need you.
No, you do not. She pushes your hands away. Her eyes remain downcast, stubbornly refusing to meet yours. You choke down a sob.
You do not need me, Vriska. You never did. You need to understand this. You need to let me go. You are not my person anymore. And I was never yours.
Rose emerges from the dining room and stops in her tracks, seeing you and Kanaya. You, bent and slumped over, and Kanaya standing with her back straight. She feels taller than you for once. You remember how small she used to feel to you. Now she feels as if she is bigger than you. Rose's violet eyes dart between you and Kanaya as if sizing you both up.
Am I interrupting something? I can leave you two to it if you would like to finish out this altercation between yourselves.
Kanaya's eyes soften when she looks at Rose.
No, dearest. This conversation is over.
She spares you a glance, and you barely get to meet her eyes before hers flick back to Rose.
Goodbye, Vriska.
Her hand wraps around Rose's, and Rose smiles at her. Acid curdles in the pit of your stomach, and you think you might vomit.
Fantastic. I was thinking we might visit the library. I've heard they've gotten a couple new poetry collections.
Is that so?
I'm looking forward to investigating them.
Rose begins to lead her away, and she spares you one more glance. One last glance. Then she begins to walk away. She does not look back.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. Suburban Jungle by Michael Guy Bowman. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.